This week's Parsha. Parshas. Nesavim Vayelech. We're going to focus on the Nesavim part of it. The.
Why does no one focus on the Vayelech?
People do. Just I'm not going to right now. The Nesavim, we're told, Chazal tells us, it's actually, I saw quoted this past, last night, in the Orgel Ayah, Radal Yashur, who writes a beautiful Sefer on Parsha as well, a little more with a Hasidic bend to it. So he said that in general, every single Parsha that you have usually is setting the tone for the coming week. Every Parsha sets the tone for the coming week. And this coming week, as we all know, and it's been the case as forever, time immemorial, is that the Tzavim is the Parsha that precedes Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, there's some big connection between Parsha Tzav and Rosh Hashanah. Big connection between Rosh Hashanah and Parsha Tzav.
Which
one is Parsha?
Which
Parsha?
Parsha
Tzav. This week's Parsha. So let's discuss right now. Let's discuss a little bit. The other thing you'll find, actually, you'll find also, you should take note of this, is that normally, taping something, that normally, the, a person, when you have Erev Rosh Chodesh, or Rosh Chodesh coming in the coming week, what you do is you do Kiddush HaChodesh, you do Birchas HaChodesh. You bench the new moon coming up, you have a whole beautiful Yiratzon, Eretz Yisrael, it's actually a different type of Yiratzon, it's a little longer than when in Chutz La'aretz, but a very powerful Yiratzon of the coming month. We do not do that on this Parsha. We don't do that Erev Rosh Hashanah time. When the Rosh Hashanah comes that week, we don't do it. And the reason why is because it's mamish, like the Kedusha Rosh Hashanah is already upon us in some ways. And according to some Maimri Chazal, we don't want to the Satan to understand just how close we are to Rosh Hashanah coming, so we don't even talk about it coming. But in some other ways, it's already kind of here. Rosh Hashanah is already kind of here. Coming from Shabbos, the Kedusha of that week is already began. So this week's Parsha itself already has in it resonating the significance of Rosh Hashanah, and I want to talk to you a little bit about how. The very first Pasuk, what about Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem? You are all standing in front of me right now. Chazal say, what is Hayom? Hayom means now, meaning Rosh Hashanah time. You're all standing in front of me. There is no one who is excused from this judgment. There's not a person who's not expected right now to have to present his case. Every single person, Hayom, Rosh Hashanah time, and really, as the parsha begins, is starting right now. I want to let you know, I recently had a student of mine came over to me, and he asked me a question I get every single year. Usually when the students are more advanced in life, they get this question a little more, and you probably get this also at some point in time. The question is, how do you do this every single year? Every single year, you take a bunch of, Baruch Hashem, young, potentially great young men, and you have to deal with over and over again the same ridiculous things that they're stuck with, the same narishkeit that they're involved in. Don't you get tired of it? You know, the questions about this topic, about that topic, how guys won't wear tzitzis in the morning, how guys will miss out on minyanim regularly, guys would rather talk about their fantasy sports team than learn the Gemara. Don't you get tired of it, of wasting your time? I said, no, the opposite. I love it. I love it, I said. Why? So picture the following scene. Imagine one day you'll all be fathers. And you have, let's say, a 12-year-old, a 14-year-old son. And then, when you kiss in the middle, of course, and your wife gives birth to a beautiful new son. And, you know, at some point, after the kid's like five months old, he'll roll over. And you'll be like, honey, did you see that? He rolled over. Take the first picture of him on his belly now, because he got there on his own. The 14-year-old kid's like, I roll over every night. No one, like, takes pictures of me rolling over. You know, and then the first time he's 2 years old, he goes to the bathroom and the toilet. Everyone, like, runs around, buys a cake for him, and you're a 14-year-old kid. And I was like, I do it every day. You don't give me any props for that? And the answer is that every single person, for you at each individual point, this is a monumental experience. Every single person has different experiences. For some of you, it'll be to put tefillin every single day. For some of you, you've done it all your lives anyways, it'll be to learn 3 hours without taking a single break. For some of you, it'll be to be more cautious with your Hilchos Shabbos. For others of you, it'll be spend an entire week without speaking Lashon Hara one time. Doesn't matter what it is. But every single person is about to be judged for yourselves. For not rolling over in time. For missing out on your potty training. For anything, it's up to, each person is independently different as his own separate court case. As my brother-in-law, Rav Chaim Dov Stark, said to you yesterday, not only are you being judged, but you're probably coming in better than most other people are. I mean you, meaning people who are in Shana Aleph. Is that you spent the last 3 weeks working on yourself, or at least peaking or growing more than you may have had in your life up to this point in time? And if that's the case, that means you are on a high, on a spiritual high that we cannot match. So if you have that in your mindset, today, Rosh Hashanah, today, every single person is coming to be judged. You have a lot of things to be excited about in your judgments. But if you look in the Pesukim inside, it's a little bit ambiguous who's being judged. It says, in Perek Tchav Tas, Pasuk Yibayz, L'man hakim ha'uscha hayom lo la'am. As a nation, we're being judged. As a nation. In groups. Together, all of us are being judged. And yet it also says, in Pasuk Yiches, V'aya b'sham o'es direi ha'lazos, when you hear the threats and the curses of what could go wrong if you're judged and you don't do well, you'll say in your heart, Shalom Yali, I'm okay, I'll be okay, I'm going to make it through. So it sounds like it's individual judgment. Is it a global Am Yisrael judgment? We're Malmach Hashem over us, we make Hashem our king. That's usually a national thing. Is it national or is it individual? The Rosh Hashanah judgment that we have. Is it national or is it individual?
Both.
It's both. But sometimes it becomes very difficult. Very difficult for us to appreciate the individual when it's a national thing. And we have ever been part of a big tug of war, yeah. You're on one side. And in the end, you're like, everyone's on your side. You don't care to pull so hard. They're all pulling anyway. It's like, as a matter of fact, I don't pull so hard. No one's going to notice I don't pull. It's what's called in psychology social loafing. You'll loaf, you'll be more chill because everyone's together with you. You're going to be in a base medrash of people davening Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time. And everyone's davening. If you don't say an extra strong, you may, hey, Shmei Rabbah, is it going to be noticeable? No. There's a famous story of someone named Kitty Genovese. Anybody heard of her? She was a woman who was assaulted publicly in this middle of an area where there are many, many houses. People turned on the lights and they saw what was happening and no one called the police. You know why? Because everybody saw it. They figured the next guy will take care of it. When you are part of a tzibur, you run a great risk that you forget that you're also individually responsible. And that is the most challenging part. How on one hand do I realize I'm part of the nation of Israel, making God my king, but also an individual who needs Kadosh Baruch Hu to help me also. So I heard a great mashal this one time. The mashal is that there was a father who was working in his office at his house. And he was working, and he had a child who was like a 6-7-year-old child. The child came and asked me, hey dad, how come this? Hey dad, what's that? Hey dad, can you read me a book? And the father couldn't get anything done. He had this big piece of papers on his desk that he had to kind of sift through and take care of. And he finds himself struggling to do so. And he goes to his kid, you know what? He takes a piece, like a picture of the globe, and he rips it up into like 25 pieces. He said, put this together. And when you're done, I'll answer any question you want afterwards. He figures he bought himself at least an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. He'd be able to finish everything on his desk he needs to. 4 minutes later, the kid walks in. And the puzzle is put back completely together again. And he goes to him, what? You are like gifted and talented. Where did you pull this off? How? He says, Dad, it's not so hard. You ripped up a piece of paper that on one side is a map and the other side is a picture of a person. I put the person together and this is the map, you know, came together at the same exact time. And the muscle is brought down to explain that it's not such an overwhelming thing for each and every one of us. We're Malach Hashem over all of us, that's hard to relate to. But over me, as an individual, that's much easier to relate to. That I'm Malach Hashem over me is very easy to relate to. I'll even bring you a proof. This morning I read in a sefer called Lahagid, an unbelievable mashal. It actually was mashal, it's a story, it really happened. In Colombia, not the college Colombia, the country Colombia, in South America, there was a boy who wrote a letter. And he wrote a letter and he addressed it to God. Wrote a letter to God and he gets to the post office. There's a stamp on it even. And it's addressed to God. Now, how do you deliver that letter? Where do you bring it to? Some people say, oh, it's a hotel, of course. Well, they're not Jewish. He wasn't Jewish. It was a non-Jewish kid in a non-Jewish government, and they get a letter to God. You should know it's a very serious crime to open up private mail. So for days, they had this letter addressed to God that they didn't know what to do with it. And finally, after waiting, they couldn't figure out what was in there. They had to say, we have to open up the letter. And they opened the letter, and it's from a boy, an 8-year-old boy, and it's him asking God to help him find his parents. His parents had been separated. They couldn't find each other. And he wrote a letter to God. Now, at that point in time, the government is like very taken by this, obviously. And they went, and they did research, they found out, and they couldn't know who the kid was even because the kid didn't leave his return address. So finally, they figured out where the kid was, they figured out where the mail came from, etc. They found the kid, they found the parents of the kid, and they reunited them together. When they went to the kid, they said to the kid, why would you address a letter to God? So he says back to them, who else could possibly help me to find my parents than God? If you understood that every single wish you had in the world, the only one person who can take care of is God, even if a simple thing, you want to ask your Rebbe, could you excuse me to go to a barbecue today? It's up to God. For all you know, you might God drop dead before you get there. You want permission to go to barbecue, to eat food there? You got to ask God for the permission to eat that food. You hope God gives you the wherewithal to get there in the end. Every single question that you have and you want in the world is all about God. Nothing more, nothing less. All about God. And therefore, when we talk about what we hope for, wish for ourselves, it's really a discussion about, Kadosh Baruch Hu, will you please gift me life? You want eyesight? Who gifts you eyesight? Kadosh Baruch Hu does. You say it every single day in davening. What do you say? You open the eyes of the blind. Whoever thought when they made that bracha that you're praying to God, thanking Him for eyesight? Well, of course I have eyesight. I'm a person. People see things. No. God lets you see something. Every single thing you have or want in the world is a gift that God gives you. There is nothing you would have if not for that. It's so easy to relate to God now. You want to get caught in the masses? You can, but then you miss the personal opportunities to speak to God. And I'll tell you as much more than you think it is. Maybe you'll say to me, you know what? Okay. You know, I'm okay with being an average person. With an average this and an average that. The Torah says it's parsha, and I'll end with this point. It says in Perek Chav Tes Pesukim Yud Gimel Yud Dalet, "V'lo itzchem levadchem anochi kareis nabris hazos v'esel hazos." Not only you am I making this covenant with, says God to us. He has a share yeshno po iman hayom omed hayom lefnei Hashem Elokeinu. Both people who are here now with us, but he's a share yeshno po iman hayom. I'm also making the same deal with people who are not here either. And many commentaries, the Malbim, the Or HaChaim, Kli Yakar explain this means future generations are also part of this. But I want to take a little different twist of what that really means. What you do right now, whatever's here right now, however you decide to take your life, take your time, take your year, this has a direct impact on your children. Direct. What you decide to do with your time now, how much you want to develop right now, how much you want to learn right now, how much you want to connect to God right now, how much you want to daven right now, has a direct impact on people who are not here today, on your family. So when you want to go out to town one time, and you want to hang out with the boys one time, it's just you, right? Wrong. It's not just you. Because whatever happens to you this coming year, and however involved you get in that, that affects who you'll be in 5 years from now, the woman you're going to marry one day, and how you raise your kids. Without putting too much pressure on you. No. It's reality. That's reality. You do badly in high school, you get into a bad college afterwards. That's reality. Do badly in college, you get badly in college, means you get into you don't get a good job afterwards. That's reality. You have realities. There's cause and effect. You spend your time right now thinking just about me. I like these things, so what do you care? What are you going to tell your kids in 15 years from now when they ask you, how come Daddy couldn't help me with my Gemara study? Or how come you don't daven? Or how come this, or how come that? What are you going to tell them? There's an answer. Is that while you were here, you didn't do that. Hayom, Rosh Hashanah time, understand where God plays a role in your life, how intensely in every area and aspect of your life. And it's not only about you. It's not, unless you're really a selfish kind of guy, it's about your family. It's about your future. So I'll give you a bracha. Bracha to you is, as the parsha, this week's parsha is going to begin, and it's beginning, the beginning feelings of Rosh Hashanah starting already. And you read it, every person is being judged. First of all, you're very lucky. You are mamish, like, your fantasy board is pointing up. You have a green arrow pointing up. You're in a good place right now. You're working towards a good place right now. Have that in mind. Don't get caught up in social loafing that everyone around you is doing it so you don't have to daven. No, it's the opposite. You have to realize that when the map of the person is put together, the map of the world put together afterwards also. And if you can realize how important and impactful this is for your future, not only for you, but for your future, for your family, maybe take a little more seriously, give you a bracha, you should understand how significant this time is for you in your life, Mitzvah, you should be zocher to have an unbelievable Shabbos, an unbelievable heading up to Rosh Hashanah. Have a great day. If you let it.